Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. In for Greg Corumbus, I am Brett Winterbull from Radio America, joined, as we have been and always are, joined by Jim Garrity from National Review. Hey, it's Friday. We made it, Jim.
It is, and I don't know about you, Brett, but I could use another martini. Just, you know, we're coming into a holiday weekend. July 4th is Monday. I am ready to start drinking a little bit extra, you know, this early in the day.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. I think for the first one, I'm in the mood for a good one, and it's a holiday weekend, so I want a double. Okay, if that's okay with you, I think I'm going to have us brought a double here. Campaign news. Thaddeus McOtter jumping into the presidential election. That's certainly a fascinating development.
Sure. A certain number of listeners are saying, who? Wait, should I recognize this name? And the answer is, yes, you probably should. He is by no means the most well-known member of the House of Representatives, but I can't wait to see what happens when the country gets a taste of presidential candidate Thaddeus McOtter. He's a Republican from Michigan, fairly darn conservative, headed up the Republican Policy Committee for a while. But I think just what I love about the guy is a bizarre dry wit, this almost flat deadpan style, which he will say some rather ridiculous, or not even ridiculous, but, you know, comments that would sound outrageous if he said it in a full-throated roar. But because he sounds a little bit like Ben Stein in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, Bueller, it comes across as this very incongruous sense. And one of my, I posted on a video on the campaign spot earlier today of him talking about what Democrats say and what they mean. And he talks about, you know, enhanced revenues is a phrase that really means raise taxes. Invest is usually a term means waste, as in we will invest this money. It really means we will waste this money. And when he says, they refer to diplomacy, and he says diplomacy usually means magic, as in we will solve this foreign policy crisis through magic. And you can tell there's a great deal of sarcasm, and he really isn't afraid to go on the attack against the standard tenets of liberalism, but he does it in a very non-fire-breathing way. I compared him to the comedian Stephen Wright. He kind of has this very, you know, off-kilter way of looking at these. Obviously, he's a long shot, but I think he's going to be definitely very much he will be always an entertaining presence in all of the debates and in every one of these candidate forums. And I think he actually could turn a lot of heads before all of this is done. A lot of folks were hoping he was going to run for the Senate this cycle against Debbie Stabenow. Obviously, he has his sights set a little bit higher. We will see what happens with the McOtter Express. But I think there could be an interesting addition to an already crowded field.
And let's be honest. I mean, given that it's July 4th weekend, it's Independence Day weekend, he does have a name that would be reminiscent of a signer of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, you had Button Gwinnett, and now you got Thaddeus McOtter. I mean, it sounds like a guy.
Somebody had said, could the Republican Party stand having Reince Priebus as RNC chair and Thaddeus McOtter as his presidential candidate? It might be the most bizarre set of names. Maybe a guy named Garrity shouldn't be making that casting that aspiration.
Absolutely. Why not? Well, that's great news. And we're certainly going to watch that with a lot of excitement here. And I know the folks at home listening are going to be watching it with excitement as well. All right. Well, there's also the second shot of this double good martini is a great new campaign ad that has come out from the NRSC. That's what, the National Republican Senate Committee. And they are playing on a statement that was made by Barack Obama in the press conference earlier in the week. And here's the audio that runs underneath it. And then Jim and I will talk about some of the stuff that they're calling him out on with the graphics while this audio is running. Here's the bite that they're using in the commercial.
I've got to say, I'm very amused when I start hearing comments about, well, the president needs to show more leadership on this. Let me tell you something. I've been here. I said we've got to get this done. And so there's no point in procrastinating. There's no point in putting it off. Yeah, we've got to get this done. If by the end of this week we have not seen substantial progress, we are going to start having to cancel things and stay here until we get it done.
Well, Jim, while that's running, while he's scolding the Senate and the Congress for not getting it done, talk a little bit about the graphics that are running, the CG that's running over his words while he's saying these things.
They talk about the sheer number of vacation days he's taken. They put 48 days. I believe it's 76 rounds of golf, and there's some controversy on Twitter of whether it's actually understating it by a round or two. images of him playing golf, images of him drinking beer in Ireland. I think my favorite is showcasing him singing with the Jonas Brothers and Paul McCartney. At the whole point, he's definitely like, I've been here, I've been doing my work, et cetera, et cetera. So for those of us who watched Obama's press conference and were ready to throw things at the television saying, come on, you know, this is absolute nonsense. He is not living up to his rhetoric. His actions don't match what he's, you know, his bold pledges at all. The NRSC has figured out this is a very target-rich environment. And what's kind of funny is that it's not a direct slamming attack ad. You notice there's no music. There's no background audio. It just, you know, lets him talk and then shows what he's actually been doing when he goes on and on about how hard he's working. And I think most, you know, I think it really it hits somewhere. This is a guy who will go on and on about how hard he's working without acknowledging the fact that no, he's taking time off just like everybody else, and here he is lecturing Republicans about, you know, the idea of leaving town for July 4th.
My favorite part of that has got to be the when he says we're going to have to start canceling some things around here, and the graphic is 149 fundraisers,
yeah,
with Air Force One flying away. I mean, really, really well done commercial that I think is. It's just, it, like you said, it strikes right at the heart of the hypocrisy here. All right. Well, listen, that's been an awesome double martini. And I don't know if I like the looks of the one coming down the pike here, but this bad one's got me kind of concerned. Apparently, we have found out in the overnight from the Air Force Times that the U.S. military is actually still flying, quote, hundreds of missions around Libya. What didn't the president say that the we're not doing? What's going on here, Jim?
It's easy to say the war in Libya, but we all know it's actually the kinetic military action in Libya. And Obama was asked about the War Powers Act. And it's one of those things where I see this as separate of whether you think the this is a good idea. I mean, there are a lot of conservatives who are thinking this is never going to end very well. We don't really know what we're doing over there. Then there are other folks who say, no, Muammar Gaddafi has earned every bit of American fury that we give him. Entirely separate from that, I'd be one of the folks who'd say, look, if you're going to send U.S. military forces into action for a long period of time, not something like the Bin Laden raid, you got to go to Congress and you got to, you know, get their approval. And Obama had said, no, it doesn't count because the honest to God explanation was it's not really war. It's not really a military conflict, even though people are shooting at us and we're shooting at them. Apparently, it's not – the literal wording was it was not hostilities. Now, I don't know. Do we call it gregarities? Do we call it surlies? I don't know what you call something if it's not hostile when people are shooting at you. But we've done 801 strike sorties and 132 dropping of ordnance just since the 31st of March, 3,475 sorties. And it just is one of those things where – Obama is just blatantly contradicting the facts on the ground. And it's one of those things where if nothing, you know, if the mission really matters, that it deserves to be talked about honestly and forthrightly. And that's not what we're getting from this administration. And why, as much as you don't want to see a lot of Republicans who don't want to cut the knees out from the U.S. military and don't want to cut off funding, if the administration is not going to play straight about what's actually going on over there, you could see this easily leading to a constitutional crisis. I mean, this is a president who really doesn't believe that because he's got a UN resolution, he doesn't believe he has to check with Congress at all on this.
He went and scolded the Congress earlier in the week with, you know, the leadership and the debt and all that stuff. He's walking a very tight rope here because the support for this guy on this mission is tenuous at best. I mean, he really could explode the ire of these people there at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, and remember, this was pitched as days, not weeks. And here we are more than 2 months later. And the other thing is that I think for a lot of us, if we knew, one, if we saw signs that this was definitely working and that, you know, Gaddafi was feeling the squeeze and there were signs that Gaddafi regime was collapsing, well, okay, maybe we're going to do some good over there. Maybe despite all these serious questions, you know, this is all going to be worthwhile in the end. Brett, I don't know about you. I'm not sure that Gaddafi's, you know, any closer to being out of power than he was a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. We don't know how much we can trust the Libyan rebels. We don't know if there are some Islamist elements in that. We have no idea. You know, our NATO allies are apparently running out of ammunition and running out of fuel and are by no means set up and equipped to do this sort of thing. And oh, by the way, nobody's ever come out and said whether or not we're trying to kill Gaddafi. Now, I have no problem with trying to kill Gaddafi, but I think if you're going to try to kill Gaddafi, you should come out and say we're trying to kill Gaddafi. It seems, you know, it's not even a matter of like surprise warning because we probably are trying to kill him, but we're not openly about, I don't know, it just seems like a mess of a policy. And it's not surprising to see, you know, support eroding bit by bit as this, you know, operation just goes on and on and on.
This is one bad martini, my friend. I'm gonna get this one. I'm just not. It's expensive. It's overpriced, and it's vague. I don't want this martini anymore. How about a little bit of a weird martini, though? Dominique Strauss-Kahn, aka DSK. What do you make of this new development with the case collapsing and the sketchy maid? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's bizarre and disturbing. Because here's the observation, you know, obviously everyone has known this story, and it was, I believe, actually was on the cover of National Review. It seemed like this classic example of a European literal socialist living high on the hog and committing what sounded like a horrific crime. Now, what we're finding in this shocking revelation breaking late last night, the housekeeper who allegedly was attacked is not the most reliable witness, has lied to investigators. Has ties to some criminal elements, and it sounds like the circumstance in which it's easy to picture a defense attorney just tearing apart her credibility on the witness stand. So I believe not long ago I was just hearing that he has actually been released from house arrest with no bail. And so he is, for all extents, the last thing I saw in that New York Times article was that the prosecutors wanted him to plead to a misdemeanor. Now, this guy goes from being the poster boy for bad behavior on you know, national magazines, and now maybe he will not see any further inside of a jail cell. Kind of a striking development, and I think for a lot of us it seems very disturbing because the report is that the physical evidence is there. There is very little doubt that something happened. The DSK response has always been that he is such a raw, powerful, sexual figure that she could not resist him. A scenario probably quite a few folks find a bit hard to believe. But on the other hand, if the accuser has serious credibility problems, that makes it a very hard case to prosecute. So, Brett, I don't know about you, not exactly the note I wanted to end this week on.
No, listen.
I wish we'd had a cheerier, bizarre one, but I think this is just kind of a fascinating example of you think you know how a story is going to turn out, and in any, you know, everything can change in a New York minute.
I'm still happy about the NRSC taking on the president. I'm excited about Thaddeus McCotter, a candidate who's going to certainly grab some headlines and grab some attention and draw some pretty decent broadsides against the explosion of big government. I hope you have a very safe and enjoyable Independence Day off, 4th of July, whatever. Jim Garrity, it's been awesome sitting in with you on the Three Martini Lunch all week. I really appreciate the chance.
I have enjoyed it, Brett. You too enjoy a happy 4th of July, or as they call it in Britain, they got away day.
I'm Brett Winterbull from Radio America, and that's Jim Garrity from National Review. Have a safe and happy 4th of July. Greg Crumbus will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.